Hey, what's up? December 1st, 2020, Beast Place. Hanging. First day back work. Not terribly productive, but managed to get up on time. So that was a plus. Thanksgiving. F1. Talked to an old buddy from NBA programs about the excitement. I drove up to my parents' place, which is about, if you could drive straight without stopping, which is impossible, in the summer, it's a one stop, one fuel stop. You do it one pit stop. So the car has a range of 430 miles on a full tank. It's like a 700 mile journey, so thereabouts. And you can just about do it in one fuel stop, assuming you can drive at a... you don't get stuck in traffic jams, stuff like that, which is likely given that you have to go through three traffic areas, two heavy traffic areas, one of which is extreme. So it's like you got to drive past Richmond, which can be a problem. And then there's a southern DC, Baltimore, like, because it really starts, the traffic can start as south as somewhere just north of Richmond around exit 92, if you're familiar with 95, and it can go all the way to, like, and it does, the exit I take off of the turnpike. But by then, it's so late at night that it whittles down. Now, here's some things, food for thought. Thanksgiving is one of the, like, biggest travel holidays there is. And I've had 18-hour drives from Wilmington, North Carolina, which is like an 8 or 10 hour drive. But from Augusta, it's about 11 and a half hours. Like I said, if you just fly through going roughly the speed limit, which is what I do, I use my cruise control. I set it to like about 5 miles over the speed limit, which is weird because on my speedometer, it'll say 10, and I have a GPS and that thing's telling me 7 miles over. So I'm like, I bet your GPS more accurate. So anyway, although it could be measuring altitude. Anyway, it's pretty cool. We did the trip in 14 hours. Now, I don't go straight through. I stop. For that long a drive, at the end of the drive, I'm going to need coffees, although generally I do Red Bulls. And it's like, do you just grab the Red Bull, blam, 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 go, go, go. Here's the thing. Here's how you do this right. You don't load up on coffee. You don't wake up in the morning with a cup of coffee on these long... No. You wake up in the morning. First of all, don't try to leave early. All right? So like you'll have this impulse like, if I can leave early, get up early, blah, blah, blah. You're setting yourself up for failure a couple ways. One, you're going to be all nervous about it, and you can get pissed when you don't hit your milestones. Don't do it. Don't get up early. Just go. Just go when you wake up. So you got a day, that whole day is for you to drive, and you can show up late. Like for me personally, like if you're an early riser, if you're a 5 a.m. riser, leave at 5:30. If you get up at 10, leave at 10:30. Don't diddle too much in the morning. Wake up, get your stuff in the car, and go. This is like, but it may not, I don't know, I think it's common sense, but you may not think of this. Like on these long trips, just go, you know? You gotta like, these are just things I would do. I would get all my snacks and have them in the car with me. Same thing with drinks. Now, you may not be able to keep them as cold, da-da-da, but here's the thing. Like, you're going to want to stop and eat regular food, right? So you're going to stop and get a treat, don't worry. But stopping and getting something to eat, unless you have this thing so memorized that you have like certain places you stop, that you know are going to have certain things. You never know. You're going to run out of gas. You're going to have to pee somewhere. And it doesn't always coincide with like the best snack options. And not, you cannot depend on all gas stations to have like a super mini mart. Now, a lot of them do. I got kicked out of a Wawa for forgetting to put my mask on. I walk in. It's like hour 12. I'm just like, whatever. I don't think about it. Because in Georgia, where I'm from, we don't have it. We don't have requirements. This is Maryland. So I walk in there and I'm like, you know, and people wear masks, right? But they do that here, like about half. So I'm the kind that don't. I've had the COVID. I'm not going to get it. I'm not wearing a mask. So a lot of times I forget too. Like I mean to when I go into like Publix because I don't want to make the person make me put a mask on. But anyway, so I go up and I'm at Wawa. They have these like touch screens. That's how you order your sub. I'm sitting there working on the touchscreen. The worker's like, you need a mask. And I'm like, oh, it's this like young girl. I'm like, ugh, like this young black girl. And I'm just like, oh, I hate you. Right? Because I just been on this like car for so long. So I just left. I was like, forget it. It's easier to eat a cheeseburger. In any case, anyway, like, so you want to have your snacks though, because you don't know what you're going to have. You don't even know if like, yeah, there's a McDonald's every like 20 or 30 miles. There's a Wendy's probably every 40 miles. There's a Burger King every 50 miles and so on. Like there's Taco Bell's and KFC's and Chick-fil-A's all up and down that guy. But you want to have snacks. You get bored. You want a snack. You're going to stop. You're going to buy something stupid and expensive. Go to Walmart, Costco, Sam's, Kroger, Harris Teeter. Doesn't matter. It's going to be cheaper and it's going to be better. It's going to be exactly what you want it to be. Same thing with the drinks. Like you never know what you're going to walk into. You go like, here's the weird thing. You go into some these convenience stores in poorer neighborhoods. There's not a lot of diet options. It's like Diet Coke. Like what? Yeah. It's weird. The richer the neighborhood, the more diet options, like the fancier the place, the higher end the clientele. The more diet options, the more like club sodas and that sort of thing you're going to find. Whereas the opposite, the poorer the neighborhood, the less. And you're going to get to a point where like the only thing available is Diet Coke and usually sugar-free Red Bull. Red Bull is pretty good about being in every single convenience store. Now their facings at a grocery store are tiny. Right? It seems to be like Red Bulls are the kind of things people buy at a convenience store as opposed to at the supermarket. But whatever. I like Red Bull for my trips. If you're cheap inclined though, I mean like 5-hour energy is great. You can mimic a Red Bull by taking some B vitamins, some taurine, which you can get as a supplement. Anyway, just have your snacks ready to go. You don't want to stop. You don't want to spend the money. You don't have to stop just for a snack. You got plenty of gas. You don't have to go to the bathroom. You do not want to stop. There's some people that have this like mentality, like I'm going to get there in one go and I'm going to do it as fast as I can. And we're trying to make good time. I'm not trying to make good time. I'm just trying to make time. I'm just trying to like get there without too much craziness, but I'm not trying to like beat my record or anything like that. I know how long it's going to take. And it's going to take me my entire waking day, just about, to pack the car, drive up, unpack the car. That's my day. That is everything I'm going to do outside of sleep is going to be somehow in support of that, whether it's eating on the way. Secondly, I would recommend if you're not by yourself, if you got kids, my kids are actually super, super great in the car. And even though my daughter tends to be like kind of a spaz and like this angry little elf, she does really well on these long trips. And so does my son. Now we do the thing where we got a tablet and we got a phones and stuff like that. Like not their phones, our phones. And they have like a crappy tablet. My son has a crap. So, but it works, you know, it works well enough. And you got to let them come out and play at least once. Just a little bit. They run around like the happy cows. I'm talking about like a half hour.
We got to make good time.
Now, you know, that's a half hour added. It's a 12-hour day. You're adding a half hour to it. It's not the end of the world. And guess what? Stop. The worst case scenario, you're going to spend about $120 on a hotel room on the highway. You could probably find them for a lot cheaper. Just do that. You realize you're not going to make it. You don't want to stop early, though, because you want to stop at a point where those kids can go straight to bed, which for my kids would be around 10 o'clock. There won't be any fight at all. They'll just be right out, and they won't wake up before you want them to. And then what I do is I'll stop at rest areas just to go to the bathroom. I don't sit there and hold it. I don't, you know, I'm not going to pee in a cup unless I'm like stuck in heavy DC traffic. You know, you get the picture here. I'm very much of the mindset, like, stop. I've even like stopped for massages. There's like every once in a while, there'll be like some masseuse near the highway. And I've actually stopped and gotten a massage in the middle of the trip. Just take an hour out. When I'm with the kids, obviously I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're going to sit in the car while... No. So we will stop. We'll eat at like a Cracker Barrel. The food's slightly better. And you don't... Like, I'm really getting to the point where I eat fast food. But I think it's going to like really take up... I ate some Wendy's on the way down and was just like not happy about it. I can still eat Chick-fil-A, but there's just like fried chicken. It's like different. Anyway, to get like a decent meal, and it's kind of cool. But other than that, you know, just go. I don't worry about Philly. If I got 3/4 of a tank when I leave the house, I have 3/4 of a tank when I leave the house. I stop a little bit earlier. I remember being younger, it's like, oh, I got to make sure I have like a full tank so I can like go as far as I can. And all that stuff just went out the window. And I realized, like, just do this so it's the most comfortable. Like, I'm not trying to do this so it's the fastest. I put on my podcasts, audiobooks. Music doesn't work as much because you get, like, ear fatigue. At least I do. I just get, you know, when I'm... So I just put on my music and I go fully randomatic on that when I'm alone, when I'm with the kids. I throw in the headphones. Listen to some podcasts, some audiobooks. My own podcasts. But yeah, that's a trip up, fairly easy. Trip back down on Sunday, fairly easy. I'm usually tired for about 2 days afterwards. Like the next day, I really... Because, you know, usually like my biorhythm is such that like I'll usually leave somewhere between 10 and 12. So 10 in the morning to noon. And I usually get to where I'm going somewhere between midnight and 2 a.m. And it usually takes me about an hour to, like, decompress, let the Red Bull sort of wear off a little, and I can finally fall asleep. It's like 1 to 3. And then, you know, you get the drift of, like, sleep. And it's usually, like, some bad food's been eaten. On the occasions where I stayed on diet, which is especially true if I'm by myself... when I stay on diet, I'm actually like, the recovery's like half a day. The next day, I'm usually like a little bit cranky. So like on these big trips like this, I usually take like a day at the end of my vacation. So like, imagine you took a 5-day week off. I would drive home on a Saturday. So I had the full Sunday to recover for the Monday to go to work. In this case, this time, because of circumstances, I took the Monday after as well. And so I could just chill, drive back on Monday, chill Sunday, chill Monday. Thanksgiving was cool. It was a standard Thanksgiving that's been this way for a long time. I don't remember what it was like in college. They don't stick out. And in the Marine Corps, I don't remember either. But I think since high school, it's been pretty simple. Like, it's me, my mom, my dad, Doina, our friend, and then my wife and our two kids. So it's like 7 people, right? For you COVID warriors, 3 of those people are basically been quarantined almost the entire time with almost no. My parents are like high risk, and they won't leave the house, basically. Doina, not as much, but already worked from home. And this just made it so she went out even less. She used to travel a lot. She's like locked in her house as well. I work from home. It's like, but yeah, it's about 7 of us. And also, like, I'm just not that, you know, it's like, yeah, it could happen, but can't just stop living life for it. It's just not, because it's, I don't know. I'm not as optimistic, I guess, about vaccines and all that. Anyway, I don't want to, that's all I'm going to do on that. So we did the standard. We got like a smallish 10-pound turkey, you know, 7 people. Obviously my kids eat like 3 bites of it, but we managed to put away like most of it, and most like the drumsticks and the breasts was like gone, and then like the other kind of parts are kind of, there's a little bit left, not a whole lot. Mashed potatoes, gravy, which I specifically asked for, cranberry sauce, which is like straight up an open can dumped into like a fancy bowl, because we use like the fancy plates, the fancy china, and then cut up into thick slices. And that's the Thanksgiving day. Usually when I go to my parents, I'm basically like drinking the whole time I'm there. And this time, really Thanksgiving was the only day I overdrank at all. I had like obviously the first night I got there, just went straight to sleep. But like a few drinks. So we left on a Monday. Tuesday I had a few drinks. Wednesday I had a few drinks, like, you know, glass or two with dinner. On Thursday, like, you know, my parents and their friends often drink at lunch. So I just did that. I just had a few drinks at lunch, took the kids to the park, came back, had a few more drinks, and like enjoyed a bunch of libations on Thanksgiving. Also, my wife does a cornmeal dressing. I don't like it. I prefer white bread, but whatevers. And they did yams. So it used to be way more ornate. We used to be more stuff, a bigger turkey and everything. But like when I was in high school, it used to be like three or four families eating. It was like one single mom plus three pairs. So that's seven right there. Four kids, that's 11. Grandpa, that's 12. And the huge was about 15 people. So I said my 12, but there's always like three other, like I'm thinking of specific people, it doesn't matter to you. But they really like big events. And I miss it. I miss the big events. You know, I wish they could be more like that, but it's just like, you know, it's been a long time since that's been anyway. It's like, and even the big family on my wife's side does not do they don't really do a Thanksgiving it's like weird. It's like all of the kids go off on the other side of the family for Thanksgiving. So it's not as big a thing. Desserts were a good pumpkin pie. Now, I've had a lot of bad pumpkin pie, which is from the store. You know, you buy it in the in-store bakery. Those are never that great. So that's my view on it. And then, but this time, the wifey actually made one that had like it was good. Weird, it was good. And then she made cranberry apple tart that I think needed more sugar. It was too tart, but whatever, you know. Whatever, there you have it. The other thing that happened this weekend was there was an F1 race. Now, it is one of the most memorable F1 races in a long time. Now, it's more memorable than the one that, not for the racing per se, because, one, I couldn't watch the whole race because of a delay caused by a fireball. I mean, it was like, they show you like these weird little like tidbit highlights at the beginning of the F1 broadcast where they show like moments in history, and they'll show like a car from the 70s or 80s or something catching on fire after crashing because they used to have like these safety sealed gas tanks. There was a fireball. You're watching the race on the first lap, which tends to have most of this nonsense happen. There's a fireball, and this particular fireball, the guy veers off the road, crashes into like, you know, those like metal barriers on the side of the highway. It's like a thing of those three high. The car slams into it, splits in half, explodes into a giant fireball that keeps burning. The dude, the front end of let's call it the cockpit of the car. They call it like the driver survival system. They have some goofy name for it. Went through that steel barrier and was like in it. I got stuck in it, and the guy had to crawl out of his flaming car, which, by the way, had a ring of fire around it, like 10 feet, had to climb on top of this thing, and wow. And he didn't just walk away, he jumped after crashing through a steel barrier. These cars are like safer than your, at 200 miles an hour, safer than your car at 20. Your car would have done that, dude, everybody's dead. This car does it, the guy, like, not only, like, he doesn't just live. He, like, walks away. I think he probably, if I had to look it up, probably had some burns on his hand. All right, you know, whatever, what have you. I guess it's how that's going to work. So, wow. It was the most exciting, like, moment I've had watching racing. Like, that's a non, there's been some racing moments that have been like really fun because they tend to like build more. This thing you're just watching, it's like all good. There's some cars are like kind of going off the track and boom. You see him going off the track, but that happens. Like, guy's gonna wreck. Boom. Explosion. Happened to bad luck Romain Grosjean too, which is, of course. The rest of the race, Hamilton wins. Whatever. But that just fireball was, like, out of control. The other cool thing is Lewis Hamilton has COVID. It means what? It means that he is not going to be in the next race, which, like, makes it now wide open. Now you're like, oh, who can win? Who knows? Because that dude was just winning. He's won, like, the last 7 or 8 straight and has won all but 4 out of 16 or something like that. It's some he's outrageously better than everybody else. Him and that car combo are just killing it. So it'll be nice to see someone else, not just that someone else wins the race, but then like it creates a lot of other possibilities. Maybe they'll bring Hulkenberg in for the other Mercedes driver. That'd be pretty funny. So Bottas has a good chance. Like, you better win, Bottas. And Verstappen, that's it. That's your chances for W's. Verstappen's got 1, Bottas has 2, and Pierre Gasly has 1. This thing breaks down. And so that's, like, the excitement. And so we'll see how that comes out. But that explosion, man. Just check it out. Just Google, go to YouTube or whatever and find a highlight from the most recent F1 race in Bahrain, fireball. And you see this guy like jumping out of the fireball while the doctor, there's like either a race car driver or a doctor or something, comes out of the medical car and was like trying to get to the fire. Like, it's amazing that this dude, like, apparently his hands got hot, but again, just massive fireball. It's pretty awesome to see, but you're like, no way. Did someone, like, because you see that, you're like, that guy's dead. How is he going to live through that? And he did. And they wear these really thick, I've worn a NASCAR driver suit. So it's a little bit different than a flight suit. But a flight suit, it's thin. It's coated in this, like, fire retardant stuff. And made out of whatever material, and it can resist a 800 degree fireball, I think, for like a few seconds. It gives you like a few seconds. It doesn't catch on fire, so when you're like escape, and underneath of it you have to be careful because you can't wear, like, for a long time you couldn't wear dry fit because it was thought it would melt, so you had to wear cotton. And a lot of guys were complaining because dry fit's actually, the whole point of dry fit, if you've forgotten what this is, it's because it's become ubiquitous. Almost all workout clothes are now made out of dry fit. They used to be able to be made out of something like cotton. And the difference is it doesn't hold water as much. So cotton is this, like, very comfortable for wearing around the house. Even on a hot summer day outside where it's like, especially if it's like the exterior layer, there's only one layer to it. If, on the other hand, it's a underlayer, especially in football, because you have to wear a t-shirt in football. Otherwise, you will rip up your armpits because of the, basically, it just it just happens that way. So, that being said, what happens is these things get wet, and then they become like, in the summer, they become like a holder of heat. In the winter, they become like a holder of cold. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but like, in the summer, it'll make you hot, it'll like increase your uncomfortableness of hotness, and in the winter, it'll increase your coldness, right? Dry fit, on the other hand, wicks the moisture away from your body, and it doesn't hold as much, and it's much easier to evaporate, dries quicker, basically, and holds less. So if you're wearing it as an undergarment, it's, and in the desert, you can imagine, I got to wear my t-shirt, I got a flight suit, and then I got like this survival vest on. Oh yeah, sorry, I got like some kind of bulletproof vest, which is like the aviation armor is pretty thick. Think of it like it's way heavier and thicker than a ground armor. Like mounted knight, you see them like all this tons of armor. Whereas like a foot soldier will not wear as much. It's the same thing here. And then you have to think of it like, and then a survival vest. You're wearing like four layers of stuff. And yeah, it makes it hotter. And yeah, in the winter, it'll help you stay warmer. But then there's another problem. In the winter, what'll happen is you'll get wet. It's like this happens in skiing. You'll get hot. You'll sweat. You get wet. You want to like open up your jacket. You got to be careful not to open it up too long. You want to keep it closed, because that water will actually like keep you warm as long as that's like, if it's warm, it'll keep you warmer. If you're cold, it'll make you colder. So at the end of a ski run, you might want to open up your jacket like a little, and then make sure you're zipped up tight when you get on that lift, because you will just, it can be bad at night sometimes. I remember like night skiing, 26 degrees, just nightmare. Anyway, I think I veered far enough off topic. Thanks for listening, and love you. Bye.